Welcome to the Femi Pod. These conversations are for women runners that go beyond running. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Lydia O'Donnell and Esther Kewen. Welcome back to the Femi Pod. Today we are joined by two incredible women, Jacqueline York and Stephanie Jackson, who are calling in from Conquer Cancer. The world record attempt running for 4 straight weeks around Princes Park in Melbourne with the aim of breaking a Guinness World Record by clocking over 6,500 kilometres, all to raise big dollars for Camp Quality and the Florey Institute. The money raised is going to brain cancer research and more specifically to children battling with cancer. Today we're going to unpack the need for cancer research support, the individual stories of so many going through cancer journeys, and the specifics of the event in Melbourne in February and how you can also get involved. Welcome to the Femi Pod, Jackie, Steph. How are you, Jackie?
I'm very good today. I'm in Perth. It's 7 a.m. and it's weird weather. It's steamy. I've had to put my air conditioning on. So other than that, I'm great, Lids. Really good.
Awesome. Well, we're stoked to have you here, even on a hot, humid day. Steph, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm from Townsville and it's always humid, so I'm pretty much acclimatised to that.
You're very used to it. And of course, we've got my bestie, Esty, on the line as well. Est, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. I'm in Raglan, so that's New Zealand, and it's not too bad here. Maybe for about 3 months of the year we get that. So I love how we're just going around the room now telling each other about the weather. You know, it's an important topic. But yeah, no, I'm good. I'm excited to be here and to chat with, Jackie and Steph. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, well, I love how global we are. I'll just throw it in there. I'm in the Sunshine Coast and it is a beautiful day as always here. But to get into the swing of things, Jackie and Steph, our community know Esther and I very well. We're very open with our story, very vulnerable with what we both go through, both in a professional and personal manner. And they are very aware that I lost my dad to cancer this year and Esther has recently had her own ovarian cancer journey. Can you tell us why you're both so involved in Conquer Cancer? Was there a personal story, professional drive, or was it something else for you, Jackie?
Well, firstly, the connection is with Peter. Peter and I used to work together a few years ago. We've become firm buddies over that time. I lost my dad to cancer very young at 62. I've just cracked 63, so I'm a year ahead of his life. It was awful to experience. It was a very long time ago. I talk to him every day. I miss him every day. And I think giving something back is really important to me, giving something back to the community, contributing to change and research. What we're trying to do is a huge challenge, and that's our Pete. Pete likes it big, and so Steph and I are really passionate about helping the group of us achieve the goal and support Camp Quality. I am quite good friends with Deborah Thomas, who's the CEO of Camp Quality. We actually met in a plane, weird, and become really good friends. Florey Institute is also very passionate about the research. So the collaboration from the beneficiaries is really important to me as well, because making children smile with the toughness, and Steph and I were talking about that yesterday, like I've been very blessed, touch wood. Both my children are very, very healthy, and we couldn't possibly imagine what it would be like watching your child suffer so terribly with this awful disease. So that's why I'm here. We've been involved, I think it's nearly a year now, Steph, that we've been trudging this journey. Are we weary? Yes. Are we determined? 100%.
Love that, Jackie. And yeah, it's such an important cause. And just for those people who don't know, Peter is one of the founders of Conquer Cancer, and he's a big driver behind what the team are doing there as well. And for you, Steph, was it similar? Did you have kind of your own journey with cancer, and what's your connection there?
Yeah, sure. My mum passed away when I was 27. So she passed away quite young. I'm basically 1 year behind. So when you're at that part of your life and you look back and you think of how much is ahead and how much, I guess, she didn't get to experience. Also, she passed away, that terrible word, metastasized. I was her carer for the last 3 months, so I saw what the impact was, but only for a small period of time. It's also at a period of time now where I think of all the things that she lost. So she never got to be a grandmother. She never got to see me get married. She did get to see me graduate, which was great. So there's a whole life chapter that she just never got to. And I think about that if you think about how this impacts children. You know, they're pulled out of their school, the normal development stuff of running around with your friends, you know, even your cousin's party. It's just gone. Your body's no longer yours, and you're constantly sick. And I just think of what my mum went through and how I had to really learn around how to take care of her. And try and imagine that with my child. I just can't fathom it. So, like, obviously that's quite a personal link to it. My father also passed away about 3 years after. Again, cancer, same thing, metastasized. So you learn all these words and then, you know, I think you start to look at everyone differently around the different journeys they're going in, because, well, we say it all the time, there's not one person that has not been impacted by cancer. In terms of the journey, again, Pete sent me an email and said, we're going to do this. It's like, sign me up straight away. I've known Pete as well through work, and Jackie, and also our CFO, Andrew as well. So we all sort of work together, a good group of people, different skills, but equally as passionate about this cause.
Thanks so much for sharing, Steph and Jackie. And yeah, so sorry to hear about your losses in your family due to cancer. As Lid said, yeah, just been through it myself as well, like on a personal note. But yeah, it does really impact so many people. And I can imagine a lot of people listening today have someone that they may have lost or seen battle cancer, or have gone through it themselves. So sending big love to anyone listening as well. It really is such an impactful disease and impacts so many people. We looked up a few stats before this call, and I was pretty shocked to find out that by, you know, 85, 2 out of 5 of us will be diagnosed with cancer. And then more specifically, it's estimated that 2,000 Australians are going to be diagnosed with brain cancer each year. So it really is such an impactful disease. And hearing your stories, you know, shows that as well. You know, working in this space, like, how do you balance the seriousness of that message so people understand, you know, this is the reality that we're kind of living in, but also with a lot of hope and community energy? I'll send that question your way first, Steph.
Okay, excellent. So yeah, it is, obviously it's a very serious topic. It's very hard to look at Giggle and not get excited and understand what Camp Quality itself is trying to do. It's trying to bring some joy and some light into the families and the kids impacted. So it, yeah, it's not just about the kids. It's about the brothers and the sisters and the parents and allowing them to have getaways and a community for themselves, to swap stories and sort of, I guess, bolster themselves up through this journey. The other thing that I think has been very, very interesting around getting that excitement and enjoyment is all you guys, is the running community, the Melbourne community jumping together. I mean, when I heard that Femi, and just before we'd had this conversation, I've met you guys, 60 spots, sign you up. And then, yeah, the amount of people that are coming forward going, fantastic cause, how do we help? That in itself has really bolstered up. It's created its own little community. In actual fact, it inspired me to go, and I've just started off running again after an injury. Usually a solo runner, I've signed up to go join a run club so that I could get out and be social as well. So I think it's that whole sense of community. And we did start off saying that this is what we wanted to generate, but what it sort of happened by everyone sort of jumping on board and going, yeah, of course, this is a fantastic cause. It's really made it quite a positive experience. And if we can hit our goal, if we can continue this and get the funds raised and even show kids and families that there are other people, that strangers that don't know what they're going through but are willing to muck in and help, I mean, it is all positive. And then you've got the other side, which is the Flora Institute, which was another part that was really important, was what can we do to try and prevent this? How can we support those people that are working hard to try and find cures or associated cures? You know, anything we learn about the brain or any cancer is going to help another cancer. So it's really, really, you know, we take stock and understanding this is a very serious topic. It's not one, like you said, we're going to get away from. So let's do whatever we can in the most positive way to have its impact. So I'm energized by the fact that the way this has all come together.
Yeah, amazing. Love that. And how about you, Jackie? How do you sort of balance the two, yeah, the seriousness with hope and community energy?
The way Peter pitched it to me at the very beginning of me being involved was all about community and all about awareness. And meeting Deborah Thomas and talking about what, I mean, I knew what Camp Quality did just from the surface, and from they've been around over 40 years now. And so the community aspect, which was the pitch that Pete gave to me, presented to me, and then meeting Deborah, it's kind of like the stars aligned. So there's the seriousness around it, but there's also what Camp Quality do to take your mind off the disease and give you some joy at the same time. I know that sounds ridiculous, but you know, when someone's, you know, a bit sad, a laughter always is the best medicine. And I went to the Camp Quality offices last week when I was in Sydney, Lids, and they have a giggle room and they have a laughter room. They don't, you know, each room has a name, which is all about fun and joy. As shitty as life can get, you can still have a laugh. So how do I balance that? I'm really good at juggling balls. But the community aspect, what we've seen, Femi is a classic example, the passion that the community has shown us, that they can support us, they will support us, and we'll do our very best to hit the goal, hit the target. But it's more about the what Steph talked about, the Florey Institute. It's the research that's going to make the big change. And that's why we've collaborated with Florey. And they are leaders, not just in Australia, but globally in their research. So the Camp Quality connection just happened organically, but the Florey was actually chosen. And even when we went to the park, all of us were in Melbourne on the 20th of September, we had a giggle, we had some filming going on. As serious as it was, we had a great afternoon and we didn't get wet. For 4 hours at Princess Park in Melbourne, we didn't get wet. We got blown away, and but it was like we just had fun. You've got to have fun around the seriousness of it all. I think the fun is the it keeps me going, it keeps me positive. And Steph and I have become, I think, closer over the last couple of months of talking about our life as women, working women. And we both still work. This is a job in itself, as you know. You gals are heavily involved in Femi. So I think for me, the juggling isn't that hard because the purpose is worth it.
I mean, the mission and the cause is so important, and I think there is no better way to kind of raise money around such an important cause than working with runners. We are a incredibly passionate group of people, and you'll see like a lot of people get into running to maybe help with their health or feel a little bit better or get a little bit fitter. But the more people run, the more they realize that it isn't just about them and their goals. It becomes so much more than that, whether that's like building a community, making friends, inspiring other people to do it. And then on top of that, being able to raise money and give back to important causes is just like such an amazing way to take something that you love and makes you feel good, but also be able to help other people through it as well. I really loved your kind of take on like bringing some lightheartedness to the idea of cancer, which is a pretty dark and dire even word. I hate even saying the word cancer, to be honest. I feel really like icky and sad inside just saying that word because of how much it impacted both me and a lot of people around me. But even when I spent 6 weeks in hospice with my dad, he went downhill quite slowly. He actually broke all records at hospice, which he was quite proud of. I think he was in there for the longest that anyone's ever been in the Tauranga Hospice. But we did have a lot of laughs. Like, although it was really sad and like, you know, Dad came to realize that he was dying, like we also had a lot of jokes. There was a lot of laughter. He was coming up with some incredibly funny concepts of businesses that he wanted to start with me and my husband. And it was funny. And like that kind of just brought a really sad situation to be something that was also quite beautiful and a way to connect with someone who was going through something so horrific and was eventually not going to be here. But watching Dad pass over such a long period of time, he got diagnosed in 2021, so he had 4 years pretty much of very slow decline. And I spent the last like 6 months being one of his primary carers with my sister. And he taught me so much about what life is about and what actually really matters. And where I should be kind of focusing my energy and being able to have a really happy and joyful life. Actually, the last words my dad said was just have a life full of love and kindness. Like, that's the most important thing. What about for both of you watching your, you know, at least one of your parents passed, if for both your parents passed through cancer? What did that teach you about life and what really matters, Steph?
I think because my mum's cancer metastasized to her brain, and so I had to take extra care. Obviously, when also there was no chance of chemo, she went down very, very quick. So, there was no chance of chemo, and she wanted to fight. So being very, very gentle with her, and really, it's not. We say it all the time: don't sweat the small stuff. You know, go out, have fun, create, even in the end, we were creating new little traditions. You know, that what we would do to keep her busy and you know, those sorts of things. I also more attuned to people, so whether it's physically or otherwise. I've always been a little bit of an empath, but certainly I can tell the difference between people's breathing now, because that was one thing I had to notice. So definitely less inward focusing, more outward focusing. And even that in itself, if I'm having a bad day, it means I'm thinking too much about myself. Go out and do something positive. So it's certainly changed the way I've thought about things and feel about other people. So yeah, definitely, it's definitely had an impact on my life. But it was also, I don't know what you think, Lids, but I now reflect back and go, what a privilege to have been the person to help her exit, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I'm sure for you as well, incredibly difficult. Like, my dad also had his cancer had metastasized from skin cancer to his brain. And so, yeah, it was incredibly hard. And I was like, I could have never been prepared for what me and my sister had to go through. But yeah, it definitely made me realize, like, what an honor it is to kind of give back to someone who's given you so much, particularly like life. You gave me my life, so you've got to be grateful for that. And what about you, Jackie, like going through that with your father? How did you move through that process?
My dad died when I turned 40. I was going through a lot of changes myself personally. I won't go into that. And he was a power of strength, even though he was dying. We spent a lot of quality time together without the noise. Dad was a very social person. There was always people around him. Our house was always the party house. So I managed to get some really good quality one-on-one with him. And he was a bushman. So we used to go for drives and sit out in the bush. He wasn't meant to drink, but I thought you're dying anyway, so he'd have a beer. So he liked the fact that I was a bit naughty, because he was a bit of a larrikin. But I think the moments, the memories that we had together, those one-on-ones, life lessons, and pretty verbatim what you just said, he said, my dad swore, but I won't swear. He just said, get on with it. Surround yourself with people that are kind and that love you, and if they don't, move away. Life is too short to spend it with people that aren't kind to you. So yeah, I treasure those memories, and we have a couple of places that we used to go that I go to when I want to have a chat with him. One of them is Kings Park here in Perth, which overlooks the city, and there's a bench that him and I used to sit on. I used to get him one of those green juices, which he hated. I said, but you have to have it, and then you can have a beer. So there was a negotiation around it. But we would sit there for an hour and a half just talking about life, and it was beautiful, the memories that I got to have, because I was pretty much the only go-to. I have three siblings that were living in different countries at the time, so I was the person. He was very angry at dying. He had a lot more to do and a lot more trouble to get into, and he was angry, very, very angry. So yeah, it's I get his anger, but I said to him, you know, you can't change it. He did everything to try and fight it, but he lost the battle, sadly. But it was the memories, I think, Lids, that I hold very close to my heart. And I got them. No one else got them. I got them.
That's amazing. Yeah, thanks so much for sharing your experiences. And it sounds like, yeah, although like extremely challenging and so much grief involved in that journey, there were so many rays of light for all of you along the way. And I haven't lost a parent to cancer. I'm very, very privileged. But even in my own journey with ovarian cancer, you know, there was so many positive moments as well as like very challenging and sad moments. So yeah, I definitely kind of relate on a personal level to, I guess, the experience you had alongside your parents. We kind of chatted a little bit before about like how community and energy and hope can balance the toughness of a cancer journey or a family or a person going through that and those around them. But I think more on a personal level, how do you, you know, manage that heaviness and grief that you may experience, especially working alongside, you know, people going through cancer battle or losing that battle, and children as well. I'll hand it to you first, Jackie.
That's a tough question. How do I handle it? I'm a pretty much get shit done kind of person, excuse the swearing. We do have our down days. We all have our down days, our down moments. My stepfather's in hospital at the moment, so after this call I'm going to go see him. You just have to remain positive. And if you're not feeling good, Steph and I had a great chat last night for half an hour. Like, reach out to someone that you know is going to lift you up and support you. And I'm surrounded by a beautiful bunch of girlfriends and male friends that if I am having a shit time, bad time, always reach out to someone that's going to lift you up. Don't try and run it on your own, because you can't. You just can't.
Yeah, 100%. And, yeah, we have these people around us that love us and want to support us and no doubt want to hear from you, eh? So, like, reaching out to those around you is so powerful. And I definitely did that a lot as well when I was feeling down. What about you, Steph? What do you sort of do to look after yourself?
I was talking to Jackie around this. Was a very interesting question to answer, because the grief, I mean, it's always there. It never goes away. And I think it becomes new each time. Like, say, for example, my daughter finished primary school and a big graduation. She's so excited. There's all these missing bits. And I actually don't talk about my mum or my dad very much to my daughter, because it's completely different chapter. So I think even going through this process and really just reflecting and going, well, you know what, it was a pretty shit time, but it's not my child, and how would I feel if it's child? So trying to get that empathy, but that empathy drives me then to do better and to do more. So we've all had a couple of big weeks at work, very tired. I look like rubbish, but you know what? I'm still going to get and do the stuff that I need to do this afternoon, because I believe so much in the cause. So I think the grief has driven something. And I would never say it fills a hole, but it just puts something else in its place. So I've actually thought about my mum. It's the first time I've spoken to my mum in a long time since it has been 23 years. But it has really come up quite a lot lately because of where my daughter's at with her life and, you know, reflecting. So I think you feel the grief and you live through it and you process it. You don't ever put it down, and you pull it out when you need to and chat to people. And this has been fantastic. I actually feel really quite light talking about this. And then I'll go on and go, right, let's get shit done. Let's try and make sure that you know, we can, in any way, shape or form, whether it's 5 years down the track, 10 years down the track, or hopefully next week, Flory has a breakthrough that does something small that helps something small to go to the next big thing. So that's, I think, you take the grief and you make it work for you.
Yeah, that's amazing. We definitely talk about that a lot at FEMI, just like taking your challenges and driving change through what you've been through yourselves. And for me, grief was, and it's still going, you know, Dad only passed like just over 6 months ago, so it hasn't been that long. And it's, every day is different. Some days I feel fine and other days it feels incredibly heavy. And I want to talk about it. Like, I think death and loss is incredibly taboo amongst society, and it's really hard to have conversations with people because people don't know what to say. Most people don't know what to say because it's just not spoken enough about. So I'm definitely on a mission to make loss and death less taboo, because it's going to happen to all of us eventually, unfortunately. And I think being able to speak about it, for me personally, and I get we're all different, but for me, I do like talking about it because I think it helps me process when people let me know that they have lost, particularly a parent. I feel almost immediately connected to that person because I know that they know exactly how it feels, and it's horrific. And yeah, every day is so different. But one thing that really helped me through my journey over the last 6 months, and even when Dad was sick, was running. Like, it was being able to get outside, go for a run. And even when Dad was in hospice and things were quite chaotic amongst our family and trying to get everything in order, I always prioritised, even if it was half an hour, just to go outside and go for a run and move my body and spend some time in my own head. Like, I think it was so important for me to do that. And we've spoken a lot about that on the podcast before. And I think when Conquer Cancer reached out to Femi about this incredible event that's going on, we were immediately, Esther and I were like, 100% we're going to get involved, because not only is it an incredible cause, like, it's something that we really believe in, and we know cancer has touched so many people, and everybody in our community will be so excited to be part of something that is going to drive change. So let's talk about the event. 4 weeks, non-stop running, 6,500 Ks. Can you talk, maybe, Jackie, around, like, more of the logistics about the event, how it's going to happen? And we have spoken about the driving force behind it all, but what was it? I know Peter's crazy and loves doing these amazing things, but what was it about doing this particular challenge that got him and yourselves so excited?
I think Ben and Peter are very competitive. We were actually talking about this in our director's meeting last Thursday. They're highly competitive. I'm not. Like, I don't play to win. I play to play. There's a wonderful book about that, and it's written by Simon Sinek, and the rules of the game always change. But I'm not competitive. But I think the passion around the Guinness World Record for Ben and Pete was what sort of sparked the idea. I'm actually going to be in Melbourne for the first week of the event and the last week of the event. I booked an Airbnb. So for me, it's not about the competition of whether we make the record. It's about we're actually trying. And for me, trying is winning in the first instance. So, but I'm not competitive. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah. No, we love that. I think everybody is on a spectrum of competitiveness. You know, some people are there purely just to have fun and enjoy it. And then there's crazy people like Esther and I who are insanely competitive. But I think being somewhere on that spectrum is, like, it's all individual. But being able to do something that you can look back and be proud of, and then, of course, obviously raise funds and make change, is also so amazing. So, Steph, do you want to just talk through the specifics? Like, we're handing a baton every hour for, I don't know that you would know maybe the numbers on exactly the amount of hours it is. Is it six? I mean, if I do the math.
It's 689, I think, something like that. So yes, the intent is it's around Princess Park, so you just go around the track for an hour. We're trying to keep it an hour because it is easier to fill those slots. It's just to keep it moving. So it doesn't have to be running, it could be running, walking. The great thing is you've actually opened up for a whole bunch more walkers, because you guys are super fast. So we'll get through the kilometres a lot quicker with the running groups and things like that. So we're really sort of broadening who we're reaching out to really open up the opportunity. So including schools, get some kids involved. Again, a great opportunity to provide awareness. So yeah, essentially it'd be there'll be a baton. The baton has to always move. So even if it's going slowly, it gets handed over at the 1 hour mark. We take photos because it's for the Guinness World Record. So we have lots of photos of it, and then we continue it on. So we're trying to make it instead of having a one-on-one, you know, you're passing to a stranger or a new friend. You've got community sort of coming together and having a bit of fun around the day. So getting lucky, guys, get groups together. We have another small group that's planned to bring, you know, down some music and have a bit of fun. So yeah, that's really what it's about, is just to keep that baton moving from 29 days nonstop, even, you know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, which are the interesting slots, all for the cause, really. And, you know, yes, we hope to break the Guinness World Record, which is, yeah, to get the 6,500, but really it is also to push the awareness and get that fundraising going.
Sounds like it's going to be, yeah, an incredible, incredible time. We can't wait to be involved. We're very excited. I know the Femi community is really excited as well. And we've got some things planned, which we'll share more about for our weekend slot. But yeah, it's going to be such a good time. And yeah, you are all doing such an incredible job to get this giant feat off the ground. I can imagine there's a lot involved. So yeah, huge kudos to all of you. We sort of, I guess you've talked about them a little bit throughout this conversation, but the charity partners, I think it would be really cool to learn a little bit more about them. If we can start with Camp Quality, so a foundation built to bring fun and joy back into the lives of children who are going through, a cancer journey. Jackie, you could just talk to us a little bit more about what they do and how do the funds that are raised over this incredible month, what are you hoping to achieve with those funds?
So what Camp Quality do, they support the family and or the child through the experience of being unwell with cancer. I was trying to get away with not saying the C word. I was trying so hard not to use it. So when you make a donation, which I find really interesting, and Steph and I were talking about this yesterday, if you donate $50, it tells you what that $50 actually does for the person and or the family. So the money we're going to raise for Camp Quality will not just go for so if a child is dying and they know they're dying, they have a wish. And the wish might be, I've always wanted to go to Disneyland and go with my mum and dad and my brother and sister. So that kind of thing would take 20,000, let's go. We're hoping to raise $1 million in this event, and the charities are getting a portion of that amount of money that we raise, which I won't disclose. But Camp Quality is all about bringing some joy to the illness. And they do, as I said, with the donations, they'll tell you what you get for $20, what you get for $50, not what we get, what the individuals get, what you get for $100, what you get for $250. The average person over their year of donations, we all donate to a charity every year, I know I do. My limit is 3,000. That's how much I either give it just to one or I spread it out. But it actually tells you what the family or the individual will get with that amount of money. They just did a big trucking event here in Perth where all of the big Mack trucks went for a drive and then they ended up at one park, and they do it every year. And they raised $2.5 million for Camp Quality. So to me, Camp Quality are trying to bring happiness in a really sad situation. That's what their purpose is. They've been around for over 40 years, so they're very trusted in the community. They have a strong presence here in Perth. They are in a very strong collaboration with a very prominent family here in Perth that are supporting them in so many different ways. But the things that they do the variety. Deborah Thomas just drove from Perth to Kalgoorlie in a souped up vintage motor vehicle. So they do lots of fun things to raise money and not awareness, just raise money for the families. So to me, Camp Quality is trying to bring the joy to the sadness. Simple as.
Wow, that's so incredible and so needed in those situations. I can imagine how hard it would be for the children, but I can also imagine how hard it would be for their parents. I mean, what a horrific situation to have to watch your child fall so ill, and having that support around you, I would imagine would be just a real nice light in a really dire situation. One of my best friends actually got bone cancer when she was 9 years old, and thankfully she got through that. She had a what they call a rotationoplasty. They removed part of her leg and took the lower limb and brought it up into the hip because the bone cancer was in her femur, and she now has this incredible backwards leg, and she can like have this amazing life. And she is one of the very lucky ones to have got through such a horrific situation. But I know just speaking to her around how much pressure her parents were put under during that time when she was such a young girl. So I'm sure what Camp Quality are doing is just like so helpful for the parents as well. Steph, let's talk about the Florey Institute, Australia's largest brain research lab, focusing on all aspects of brain health and not just cancer. But how does the fundraising from this event at Conquer Cancer really translate into real-world outcomes for cancer research or the support services?
Okay, so like you said, they're a leading researcher in brain research. We're supporting the work of Professor Lucy Palmer, or is it Dr. Lucy Palmer? Either way, pretty impressive. She oversees a lot of different studies I was just reading up on a couple recently, a lot to do with the way I think healthy neurons speak to the cancerous neurons or the tumours. So really getting into the environment in which cancer operates. So again, I think any breakthrough in these sorts of areas, whether it's to do with the brain or to do with cancer, is going to potentially lay the foundation to the next potential breakthrough. So she's overseeing a number of studies, and of course those studies can also help inform each other. So I think it's really important work to be able to support those people that are equally passionate, to get the right scientists, the right funding, and the right focus on this type of research, so that we can try and help, at least whether it's if find a cure, that's the eventual hope, or at least try and elongate life, make things a lot better for people. So yeah, the Florey Institute's very, very important in terms of how do we work towards conquering cancer. Yeah.
Maybe. Do you mind if I build on that? Sorry to interrupt.
Go for it.
Unbeknownst to me, and only recently found out, that brain cancer in children is the top terminal cancer in children. Blows my mind. Like, how and why? So there is a focus on that research, as far as I'm aware, from listening to Lucy's podcast. So yeah, and not many people are aware of that.
Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah, what they're doing is just incredible, and such amazing charities to raise these, you know, funds for. So can't wait to get a mil or more. I reckon we could probably get more. We're going to shout it from the rooftops and do our best to help you get as much as possible for these two incredible charities. Yeah, it's going to be an amazing, amazing time. Obviously, your head's down, focused on this for now, but like, if we were to look ahead over the next 5 years, you know, what are the big hopes and dreams for Conquer Cancer, and do you see this event evolving long term? I'll hand it to you first, Jackie.
As a group, we've talked about it. We want Conquer Cancer to be as respected as Camp Quality, I suppose, if I could align us with, you know, that's a big ticket. But also we want to be consistent in the community. So we've talked about every 2 years that we'll do an event. We'll stay in Melbourne for now, but we would like to do one in each state. I mean, that would be probably a 5-year goal, that we do the same event in each state. I don't know how the six of us are going to manage that, because that's all we have. Hopefully we can grow that in each city, because, you know, as you know, Steph's in Townsville, I'm in Perth, Pete's everywhere, Ben's in Melbourne, Mitch is in South Australia, and Andrew, I don't know, where does Andrew live?
New South Wales, just to round it out.
Yeah, round it out. So we've pretty much got every base covered. So that's the goal, that we would be recognised as a respected charity, and also to continue the event biannually, and the end goal is every state. Not big.
I mean, if anybody can do it, it's you. I am just watching the evolution of what you're doing over the last few months has been incredible, and just, yeah, being part of it for us is so exciting. We're so honoured to have even been asked to be involved, and yeah, just knowing like how close Esther and I and are to, unfortunately, the big C word, and how much we want to be able to give back through the work that we do at FEMI and beyond as well, is like, you know, we're just so passionate about this. So I just want to say a massive thank you to the both of you and to everybody at Conquer Cancer for the work that you do. We know how much effort and work is going on in the background, and this is really just the start. So it's incredibly exciting to think about where you're going to be over the next 5 years, and also how much money you're going to be able to raise, and how much change that you're going to be able to drive as well, and how many lives you're going to be able to save is the most important thing. So thank you so much for your time today, for inviting us to be part of the charity event. And we will be putting all of the links into the show notes. So if you are wanting to run as part of the FEMI crew, we will have a shared spreadsheet that we'll put into the show notes, that you can go along and just pop your name down for a spot that you want to run at. We're going to, as we've mentioned, have 60 runners across 60 hours from the 20th of February till the 22nd. The first hour is going to be our Femi Friday, which will be hopefully hundreds of you coming out and running with us all together. And then we'll be going on a baton change from there on out. But if you can't make the Femi weekend, you can also get involved just individually, which you can head through the Conquer Cancer website, which will be in our show notes, and register just for your spot individually. And if you do just want to donate to this amazing cause, you can do so as well. So we will have a Femi team. You can donate to us. If you want to just donate to the charity as a whole, do that. But yeah, thank you so much, team. We're so excited to get involved and can't wait to see you all out there pounding the pavement.
Can I just say, from Conquer Cancer Australia, we are so grateful that you guys are supporting us. It makes my heart sing so much. And the momentum that we've gained from this collaboration has been amazing. And I'll let Steph just add on to that, because that's her baby. So Steph, over to you, but grateful. Yep. And thank you.
I have to second that. It's been fantastic. It has been so much easier to go out to running clubs and other and say, look, we've got Femi, who basically, I think you blinked and said yes before we even got to the concept, and they said wrap it up in 60. So you've set the benchmark, and I can already tell that you guys will continue to set the benchmark, because that's who you are.
Oh, thank you, Steph. That means so much. It's it's an honour to have women leading from the forefront. I think women don't get enough acknowledgement or support when it comes particularly to business. But, you know, even in the running industry, it's very much being made by men for men. So it's really cool to have women kind of taking charge and being like, yeah, we're not just here to run for ourselves. We're here to run for each other and make change as well. So thank you for the opportunity.
Oh,
and
step up, boys.
Yeah. Step up, men. All right. Thank you so much, team.